Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time to listen up, like I'm always being told to do here. Listen up, because the show's about to start. What show? Our community podcast. The one show that shows you all the coolest people in town, from the coolest guy I know who knows them all, John Gutierrez.
Welcome, everybody, again to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. With us again, we have another special guest. We have several special guests. We're going to have you sit up a little bit more. Thank you there. We have Tim. And Tim, how do you say your last name again? I don't want to say this wrong.
Shervinak. Last name is Shervinak.
Yeah. Yes. And also we have?
Ty.
Ding Ty. All right. And Tim here is the Chief Executive Officer of the Vocational Visions, Orange County-based nonprofit serving approximately 400 adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities in a variety of employment and community-based day programs. Its Vocational Visions began as a Saddleback community enterprise in 1974. Wow, 2 years before I was born. Tim has worked to support people with disabilities since 1998, serving in other nonprofit organizations supporting adults with disabilities. And Din, tell us a little bit about yourself, because I don't have we threw him in the show last minute. He didn't want to be on the show, but you, the man that obviously helps support all of this.
John, first of all, thank you so much for having us on the show. My role as a development director of development is to really make sure that we share our stories out in the community, right? I really have a passion with connecting with people in the community, getting people to really learn about organizations and connecting organizations in the community. I see my role as making sure that I engage our supporter or donor with our company.
That's
our organization. It's very important that they really understand what they're supporting for and the mission that we have at Vocational Visions. And lastly, I want to share that it's important for us to share the message, like I shared with you, the stories, but out on the social media platform, right? We have a lot of our young people who may not know about our organizations, but want to learn more about, whether it's working at Vocational Visions or just learning about organizations and sharing that stories on social media or just on our websites. I think it's very important for us to get that message out.
I appreciate you sharing that. And with that, I want to ask Tim, can you share with us the mission of Vocational Visions? Obviously, you serve a lot in the community. Share the vision and what it's about, please.
Really, what we're about more than anything else is about finding what people with disabilities want to achieve in their lives and helping them achieve those goals. All of our programs have a community component. Some are completely community-based. Some come to our facility and then they have a chance to go out into the community. And we have a variety of programs. So when people want to come to us, we try to figure out, what are your goals and what skills do you want to develop? And if we can help them develop their skills, then we try to find the right program and the right staff, and then they can start to develop those skills. Say somebody comes in and they say, I want to work. And maybe they've never worked before. Maybe they haven't developed those skills that where they would be successful in a paid job in the community. We have programs then that can help them learn the skills they would need for a job, the soft skills, the social skills, so that when they are ready, they'll be successful. And so sometimes they come in, they're ready. They just need us to help them meet that milestone in their life. And sometimes they need us to help them develop the skills that they need so that then they're ready.
Paul has a question, I think.
I really have a comment. I just got to say, you guys do phenomenal work. And we had you on one of our other shows years ago. And what struck me was what you just said. Not only do you give them a chance, these are people with severe disabilities, mental challenges. You give them a chance to have a dream, to not just say, I can't dream, I can't do anything, to give them a goal. And what struck me the most is how much they can do.
Yeah.
For years, we just locked these people out that we were talking about before the show. There's nothing they can do. Let's just warehouse them and do the best we can to take care of them.
We have one of our, I like to call him founding fathers of our Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. His name is Frank Garcia with La Casa Garcia in the Anaheim. He owns a restaurant, and the guy's done amazing work in the community. And he's one of those big advocates about working with young adults with disabilities. He's also somebody that supports our veterans a lot. But he's always talked about the community, about supporting as businesses back people in the community that have these type of disabilities. To Paul's point, thank you guys for what you're doing, because I'm pretty sure the families of those children or those young adults, they really appreciate that they're being valued, that they're not just being pushed to the corner.
As much as I appreciate you saying that, the thanks should really go to our staff. We have a lot of frontline staff that are, they're showing up every day and not being paid a whole lot to do it. And they do it because they're passionate about helping people, and they come every day and they work with, and so many of the people that we work with are just so much fun to be around and to learn from, and we gain so much from the people that we serve too. But they come every day, and we have said many times that we know that a lot of our staff could make more money being somewhere else, but they're here for the mission. They're here because we share the values, and they get to see the results where they come and they're working with someone and they see that person opening up. They see them learning skills. They see them being able to be out in the community. And ultimately, our goal is we want everybody we serve to be considered a valuable member of society, because they are. We want people to think of them that way.
On that note, can you share what inspired the founding of this Vocational Visions organization? Can you share the history a little bit so those listeners and viewers can know how it all started and how it's evolved?
Yeah, Vocational Visions started out as a program, an arm of the Saddleback Unified School District. Back in 1974, the school district was starting to see that they needed to provide some distinct services for students with disabilities, especially in those transition ages of like 18 to 22. And so they decided to create this, you could almost call it an after-school program.
Oh, nice.
And then as people would age out from their transition program, then they saw, hey, the people we're serving, they need a place to be during the day. And what can we do? And at that point, a lot of the services back then were very much site-based. There really wasn't a thought that back then that people should be out and integrated into the community. It was really more about just keeping people safe and keeping people busy.
Yes.
And that's not a bad place to start, but I'm glad we've come a long way since then. And pretty quickly, within a few years, Vocational Visions became its own entity, separate from Saddleback, but we were tied together with Saddleback School District for decades. And then we evolved where the adult ed funding from the school district kind of got reinvested maybe toward the community colleges. And by then, we were part of a community of providers like us that, through the Lanterman Act, received state funding for these day programs and other services. And so that's where we are now. We're not affiliated with the school district at this point.
And can you just share some of the vocations you find these people do? Because I think there's a feeling that because they're mentally disabled, there's few choices, if any choices, that they can do. And you find amazing work, and working with them open up possibilities they probably didn't even imagine.
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. What we do is we kind of work with the skills that people have and try to develop those. So some people come in with entry-level skills, and for people like that, we would try to find entry-level jobs. What can you do? What can we help you find right now? And then what they do is once they're successfully employed, they just take off. And it's not just the skill set. It is the pride. It's the value of contributing, doing a good job, getting a paycheck, becoming more independent, relying less on benefits, and feeling like then, hey, I'm part of my community and I get to make choices. But to your question, some people come to us with advanced skills. Hey, I can type 150 words a minute. I have strong computer skills. Whatever that might be. And if somebody comes to us with those skills, then we want to try to find the right job match for those skills. And we have found jobs in anything from offices and payment centers, customer service centers, receptionist type jobs. It really comes down to the individual skills of the person, because I always used to say, for many years I did intakes for new people looking for the program. And a really common question that I was asked was, what kind of jobs do you have? My answer would always be none. We don't have them. We need to find out what you want to do and what your skills are. And then we go out and try to find the jobs in the community.
Okay. And for people listening or viewing us, when you do that, at what point or how do they connect with you or should connect with you, as far as obviously you're trying to find jobs for these individuals. Mm. So we can spread the word, right? They go online or something, they send you an email, hey, we're interested in learning more about your organization. How does that work, the process?
For employment, and for all of our services, actually, we're primarily funded by Regional Center of Orange County. There's 21 regional centers that cover all of California, and Orange County is its own regional center. So pretty much everybody is already pre-qualified through Regional Center, and most have been pre-qualified since before they became an adult. And then families are free to reach out to us directly, or they can be referred by their Regional Center Service Coordinator. And we also work with the State Department of Rehabilitation. They do fund part of the employment services in the near term. And so they can also refer people. So if anybody is already affiliated with Regional Center, if they are affiliated with Department of Rehabilitation, then they can refer people to us. And there have been plenty of times people have just called, or a concerned family member has called, hey, my nephew graduated high school last year and now they're doing nothing. Now they're sitting there and all their skills are atrophying, and we're concerned. What can we do?
Yeah.
And that's where we come in.
And do you just place them, or don't you actually coach them? Don't you have people that work with them and stand behind them?
We do.
Support them?
We do provide that long-term support that people need. And that's also very customized. It really comes down to what level of support an individual needs. Usually what happens is we'll have a job developer that will place somebody in a job in the community, and then a job coach will step in, provide a lot of upfront support to them to make sure that they get oriented to mm-hmm. their new job. And if you think about the very first job, or first couple of jobs you ever had, maybe you were a teenager and maybe it was such an unfamiliar environment, and it's the same if you have a disability. You're in an unfamiliar environment, you don't know anybody, someone is shoving you in front of a TV to watch a training video, you're going through maybe some computer-based training modules, and it can be very overwhelming. And so having that coach there to guide them through all that training period. Then you have a supervisor that might be really busy and might be really distracted. And they might be like, okay, you saw the training videos, let me show you where you get the broom, or where you're gonna stand at a register, or whatever, where your desk is. And then they might say, all right, I'm setting you up here, let me know if you have any questions. And they might leave. This is where the coach can bridge that. The coach can say, all right, let's remember what we saw in the computer-based training. Let's do this. And they can model what they need to do. And then if there's a question that they can't answer, then the coach can teach the person how to advocate for themselves. Say, all right, what do we need? If we're not sure what to do now, do you know who we need to ask? Do you know where we need to go? And the whole point is to build up routines so that when the coach is there less, that the person is independent and they can handle whatever comes up without the coach there.
Ding, real quick. Question for you. As a chamber, as a nonprofit, we always have that advocacy side that's important to us. Can you share a little bit about that, or either one of you, or if you'd like to step in here, and why is that so important so the listeners understand?
Absolutely. I was just talking to Tim on the way here that mm-hmm. advocacy is so important to us. We want people in the community to know that people with intellectual and developmental disability have a job just like everyone else. Many of them drive to work. Many of them have hobbies just like you and I. Many of them has values just mm-hmm. like you. We need people in the community to understand that they are part of the community as well. We want the community to advocate for us, right? Mm-hmm. And Tim talked about this. We pride ourselves as a community-based organizations. And what does that mean? It means that not only are people in the community working, learning those soft life skills, but they're out volunteering. And I can share some statistics. This past year, we have our participants serve over 3,100 hours of volunteer. Mm. 21 community partners, from churches to senior centers to other community partners, banks,
delivery.
It's great.
Beach cleanup. So the people that we're serving are in turn giving back to their communities.
Yes, absolutely.
Let me share one story. I never forgot this. I don't know if it was your organization. I know there's a couple others that do similar work in town here. You guys, certainly one of the premier groups. And here's a story I recall. Developmentally disabled person looking for a job. Somebody places him with Trader Joe's to be a bagger. And the manager came in with him. And I said, I don't know if we want to talk about this, but weren't you hesitant? This guy had Down syndrome. And people are going to be, oh, horrified to see this person at the line or uncomfortable. You don't know if he's going to show up. You don't know if he's going to figure out. He's got Down syndrome, right? He said, all of that. We weren't sure we should put him out front. We weren't sure how the customers would react. We didn't sure if he could do the job. He said the opposite happened. We can't get enough of these guys. Why? Everybody loved him there. He's so excited. He's so happy to be there. He's happy to be bagging groceries. We can't get anybody to bag groceries normally. They don't want to stay. They're not happy to be there. He's happy. He shows up. He works hard. Everybody loves it there. We wish you could have a ton of people. Is that a typical experience? Both the hesitancy and then the excitement of what the reality's like?
We break down barriers all the time.
Wait, repeat that again, because I think that's such a great statement. Say that again?
We break down barriers.
You couldn't have said it any better, right? Because that's to your point right now, Paul.
Absolutely.
People I never forgot this always story. Look at the negative side, right? Mm-hmm. First, how this can hurt our business, how they can hurt, never thinking the other way, right? This could also help us. This can make a difference, right?
I got one perfect way, and there's many ways that people that we serve help businesses, but one is that they tend to stay in their job for much longer. And
exactly.
We're all very,
love doing it.
We're very well aware of what turnover costs are. And if you have a position where somebody has stayed in a position for 15 years, that position could have turned over 30 to 50 times in that 15 years, depending on the field. And just by being there and showing up and doing a good job, getting the support that they need to help them through any changes and that sort of thing, they're doing that employer a fantastic service.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to note, as the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, we're constantly looking at ways to better help our community, ways to help our business partners, our organizations. And I got to tell you, in the last year, we've heard a lot from different businesses that there's really a workforce development challenge right now. There's just not enough people out there. So when you look at something as this as a solution, right? Can you speak on that a little bit? I think that's important, right?
Particularly the entry-level positions, the less prominently paid positions. Yeah,
there's just not enough people out there right now that want to work or are looking to work.
Can't find them, can't train them, can't keep them.
Or to Paul's point, maybe are happy to go work. I don't know. Right. Is that something you're seeing and hearing too? Because I hear that a lot from other businesses out there.
We serve a lot of people that are really excited to work.
That's so awesome.
So we wouldn't see that from our side.
That's awesome.
I can say also that we have a lot of great successes with employers in the community. There are sometimes we're successful in breaking through, and sometimes it's just not the right person that
That's
we're
okay.
talking
that
to.
It's normal, yeah.
Do they receive subsidies? I thought I heard that too, that if you employ somebody with Down syndrome or some severe disability, not only do you get a great worker who will show up and love to do this job for a long time and inspire everybody else around them, how excited they are to come and do this, but are there financial incentives or rewards to do it?
Yeah, there is a reimbursement called the Work Opportunity Tax Credit that allows somebody to be reimbursed for the first period of time that somebody's there.
Is that like the business?
The business gets that. Yeah,
okay.
Not us. Yeah, yeah, that's for the business. The other thing that we have is there is a paid internship program where that's of no cost to the employer. And then they can bring somebody in for a specified period of time. And if it's going well, it could be renewed. And then the goal obviously is that, hey, if this is successful, if this is a good match, then maybe you consider hiring this person on permanently. But it is a chance where the employer might not be completely convinced that the person can do the job, or maybe the person doesn't yet have the skills to do the job on a paid basis. But through the paid internship, they could maybe get the skills, and then the employer is willing to take that on because they're not investing financially at that point. And then hopefully at the end of that, there's somebody with the skills that they're ready to, that they already know, and that they're willing to give that chance to.
Let me give you one more story. Well, this is a personal story. A friend of mine wanted to hire a personal assistant. I got to tell you this story. And so he went to one of these organizations, said, who you got? This girl had severe muscular dystrophy, could hardly walk or communicate, but she was brilliant. She had a master's degree. She was very intelligent and grasped everything he wanted her to do. And he said, but how are you going to do it? She said, through voice-assisted computers and all sorts of other stuff, I can do anything you want me to do. she came in for free as an internship. He hired her, employed her for years.
That's great. That's what you want to hear, right?
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
If employers have the incentive to give the person a chance, then hopefully it's something that can work out long term.
What is the most important message that you want our listeners and our viewers just to share with them about this community? That what is the most important message, would you say, that you want to get out there?
I would say it's hard to pick just one message that we really want to get out there. But I would say that the people with disabilities, people that we serve and support, they are your friends. They are your neighbors. Mm-hmm. They are the people that you pass in the store. They are your family.
Yeah.
So often we get employers that want to give people a chance because they have a family member that has a disability. And so it touches all of our lives. Maybe not everybody knows it. The people that we serve, they really are your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. Mm-hmm. And we just want people to understand that with support, that people can be independent and valued members of their community. And also that the services that we provide are not a given. They don't just happen automatically. They happen because our leaders have decided that the people that we serve matter and that the services that we provide matter. And if that were to be taken away, then people would be isolated from the community and from the supports that they need.
For somebody listening out there that has, you know, somebody in their family that can benefit from your organization, what would you say makes you different from other organizations? Anybody that's viewing or listening, what would you share with them?
There's a few things, but one main thing is we're very innovative in how we try to customize supports. We really look at the individual and what their needs and their goals are, and we try to provide as customized service as we possibly can to help the person meet their goals. Another aspect of it is the variety of services that we have. Employment is certainly one part of it. We have a variety of day programs to meet different needs. So employment probably serves the people who are the most independent at this stage of their lives. We have, on the opposite extreme, we have a medical day services program for people who have much higher level of need. Someone might be in a wheelchair. They might need to be changed. They might need to be fed. They might be nonverbal. And they still get out in the community. They still get to access the things that you and I take for granted. And we are the only medical day service program in Orange County. And that is one thing that really makes us different. But we serve people all everywhere in between in terms of their level of need. And because we have that variety, we can serve people throughout their lifespan. People with Down syndrome often have dementia at a much younger age.
Really?
Wow. And it's very common. And we've had a number of people just in the years that I've been with Vocational Visions that have been in a program that they love for 20 years. And that program can't really serve them anymore because their needs have increased. They need a higher level of support. They might need a lower ratio of support. And so because
meaning
we have...
Meaning they need more people. You're saying a lower ratio.
Meaning instead of maybe being in a 1 to 4 people with disabilities to a job coach, they might need two people with disabilities served by one job coach so that they can get more attention. And because we have that variety of programs, we can help that person stay with us if that's their choice, but evolve into the level of support that they need. It's so important that we identify the level of support that the person needs along with their
goals.
We all
know the stories. We saw the movies, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, those kind of places. Not that they were all like that, but the theory was growing up as I was a kid, these people need help, so we separate them from society. We warehouse them. We take care of them. And that didn't help anybody. And now you guys have reverse that, and you're helping them find a purpose and a passion and to contribute and finding a way to integrate them into the community rather than remove them from the community, where everybody gets to understand them and interact with them and benefit from what they have to offer.
Yeah, thank you all for what you're doing. And of course, the viewers and listeners that are part of your team, thank you for what you do, because we really appreciate how you're impacting our community. At the end of the day, I have always liked to tell people these are the same individuals that are going to be around my children, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to be interacting with them in the real world as I get older and they get older. Thank you for what you're doing. How can people I guess, reach out to you, connect with you? What do you prefer? Is it go to your website, social media? What do you guys prefer people to know?
I think if people are interested in learning more about organization and what we do and the passion we have, I'd love to chat with them. They can contact me via email or phone call, and they can visit our website, vocationalvisions.org.
Okay.
And there's many opportunities, from volunteering at our clubhouse on the weekends and Fridays, or volunteer in our gala, or there's other opportunity to give back. We'd love to have that conversation.
So again, that's vocationalvisions.com, which is vocationalvisions.org.
Yes, .org.
They can go to the website, send you a message there. Hey, I'm interested in either helping out, volunteering, whatever it is, donating, sponsoring, supporting the cause, or I have a question because I know somebody that has these kind of challenges. They can go to your website and contact you there, right?
Absolutely.
And they can follow us on social media as well.
Okay.
And how about more business partners, businesses willing to take a risk and to try this program and to give this group of people a chance? So do you need more businesses to reach out and connect with?
We sure do. Yes. We do. So if you're...
You never have enough, right?
If you're a business and you're saying, hey, I need good help, you should reach out to us and see if we have a good job match. If we don't right now, then maybe sometime in the future we will.
I'll tell you one thing, something that crossed my mind before we end the show is in my whole life, I don't think I've ever heard of someone with Down syndrome create like a crime when you think about it. One of these, someone with a disability. So just from that perspective.
They're not holding up liquor stores.
You know, I mean, I didn't want to go to that extreme, but if you think about it, at the end of the day, they're good people. They're good people doing good work, right? It doesn't get any better than that.
We just assume they can't do it.
But at the end of the day, you got to give people a chance, right? Yeah. You got to give people an opportunity. And what's great about what you all are doing is you're helping develop these skills with them and guiding them and putting them in the right place. And so, again, thank you for being on the show. I'm sorry we run out of time. Paul just talks too much. I'm sorry.
I had to share some of those stories because I've never forgotten.
Now, I like to give Paul a hard time. But listen, guys, come back anytime you want. Thank you for being here. Sorry, Ding, we threw you in the show the last minute. It was his idea. In the elevator, right? In the elevator. Like, yeah, you should be on the show. But again, thank you for being on the show. And for anybody listening or viewing, feel free to leave a comment wherever you're watching this, on our YouTube channel, on our social media. Always feel free to share our videos, because this is great information we provided for you today.
Share your own example. Maybe you have an example of working with one of this community here, or helping somebody with disabilities, or you have need somebody with disabilities.
Yes. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah. We really appreciate it, and it's just great to have the chance to talk with you.
Thanks, guys. There you have it, guys, in the community. This is another one of our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for viewing. Thank you for listening to us. And again, continue to support us and share these videos, because this is great information that we're giving to the community. We'll see you guys next time.
There you have it. I can say from personal experience what a powerful organization this is, and the community help. Boy, it's amazing what they can do if you just open the doors and give them a chance. Just as we hope you'll open the door and come back again as we share more thoughts about our community right on the Our Community Podcast, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.